You're listening to the free edition of the Start Teaching Guitar podcast, episode 52.
Coming to you from Colorado Springs, Colorado, the home of Pikes Peak. This is the Start Teaching Guitar podcast, a bi-weekly show dedicated to help you do music full-time and escape your day job through building a successful business teaching guitar. And here's your host, musician, guitar teacher, and small business coach, Donnie Scheck-Snyder.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Start Teaching Guitar podcast. I'm your host, Donnie Scheck-Snyder, and I'm here to help you do music full-time and escape your day job through building a successful business teaching guitar lessons. Today we have a special episode. It's actually an interview with October Crafassi, who operates Girls Guitar School in Los Angeles, California. So in this special episode, I'm going to introduce you to someone who's a great example of how you can target your teaching business toward a specific group of students and how that can help you stand out in a crowded local market and actually make an even bigger difference in the lives of the people that you teach. October Crafassi is doing really well with her teaching business in the LA area, and she has a wealth of knowledge and experience to share with us in this interview today. She was generous enough to take an hour to talk with me about teaching guitar, attracting new students, keeping them from quitting, and especially how women can be more successful in a business traditionally dominated by men. It's a great interview, and I'm sure you're going to really enjoy listening to it. But first, today's episode has been brought to you by Bluehost Website Hosting. If you're a guitar teacher, you absolutely must have a website to promote your teaching business. The days when you could survive by posting a few flyers up are in the past. Most people are looking online for lessons, and you need to be there for them to find. The good news is that it doesn't have to be expensive or overwhelming to set up a website for your teaching business. In fact, by using Bluehost, you can get your teaching website set up in as quickly as 30 minutes all by yourself. And you can do it for as little as $6.95 per month. In fact, I actually put together a free training video that takes you step by step through setting up your own site using Bluehost. You can watch it at startteachingguitar.com/videos. It's really easy. Bluehost is trusted by millions of people to host their websites. They get over 20,000 new customers every month, and they host millions of domains. With a Bluehost account, you get unlimited storage, unlimited transfers, unlimited email accounts, everything you need for your teaching business. There's also a really cool web interface where you can easily manage everything related to your website, and they also have great 24/7 support. For those of us who are less technical, they even have a bunch of cool video tutorials there that teach you exactly how to set up and manage your website and use the service. Bluehost is the hosting provider I use for startteachingguitar.com and for STG All Access. They've been a great solution for me since the very beginning, which is why I recommend them so highly for your first teaching website, too. If you still don't have a website for your teaching business, drop whatever you're doing right now and go to startteachingguitar.com/Bluehost and check out what they have to offer. As a special bonus, they'll give you your first domain name for free when you sign up for a new Bluehost account. Oh, and there's absolutely no risk. If you're not happy with your new website hosting account for any reason, just let them know and they'll give you a prompt and a courteous refund. So what are you waiting for? Stop leaving students and money on the table. Open a Bluehost account, build your fast and easy 30-minute website, and bring your guitar teaching business into the 21st century. Go to startteachingguitar.com/Bluehost to get started right away. Now let's jump right into today's topic, Girls Guitar School interview with October Crafassi.
Hey
Okay, everybody, just want to welcome you to this episode of the Start Teaching Guitar podcast. And this is a special episode because I have an interview with October Crafasi today. And October is the founder and director of Girls Guitar School in Los Angeles, California. October honed her skills as a group teacher, ensemble leader, and a songwriter working with artists like Justin Townes Earl and founding the Old Town School of Folk Music's first female rock ensemble. Her positive and humorous attitudes toward the guitar and music in general made her a student favorite and an integral part of the guitar faculty. And in Los Angeles, October has maintained an active teaching studio for over 10 years, as well as providing coaching and consulting services to the local film and television community there, working on projects for the Great American Country Channel, Lifetime TV, and also MTV. And I actually found out about October through an online article about Girls Guitar School. And I think she's a perfect example of someone who knows how to specialize her teaching business and go after a specific group of students that she wants to reach. And also to use that core difference to actually help people and to also try to help make the world a better place. So you can find out more about October and Girls Guitar School by visiting www.girlsguitarschool.com. So I just want to say hi, October, and welcome to the Start Teaching Guitar podcast.
Hi, thanks.
Yeah, it's good to have you on the show today.
It's excellent to be here.
Cool. So can you start out just by telling us a little bit about yourself? Like, what's your background and how you got actually started playing the guitar?
Sure. I started taking lessons on the guitar when I was 7 with my mom. It was something she had wanted us to do together. And then I was kind of playing on and off until I was about 11. And that's when I got really serious about it. And then I moved on to kind of my more formal training at Walnut Hills School for the Arts. It's just outside of Boston. And I studied classical and flamenco guitar there. And then just kind of was studying with different people on and off through college. And then when I moved to Chicago before I moved here. And I actually started teaching because of the music department at Cornell. I went to Cornell College in Mount Vernon, Iowa. And it's a very, very, very small town. But the music department was wanting to get involved with offering lessons to the community. And the person that was my instructor through the school had a really full roster, didn't really have time to do that. So, excuse me, he... suggested that the school talk to me and started mentoring me in teaching. So I started teaching when I was 18 and I have not stopped.
That's cool. So they actually mentored you as a guitar teacher there at the school. Is that right?
Yes and no. It was a little bit of, these are the things you're probably going to want to teach. This is probably how you should go about it. And here are your first, 4 students. Thanks, go. So it was a little bit of both. So it was a lot of, I think at the very beginning, it was a lot of going through my guitar magazines and like, oh, okay, this song's really cool. Okay, and this kid wants to work on this, so we'll do that. And just kind of figuring it out a little bit as I was going along. So
okay,
yeah.
Cool. So you've been actually teaching there in Los Angeles for around 10 years now, it sounds like.
Yep.
So what can you tell us about your students and your program there?
Well, the Girls Guitar program has been around since about 2009. And I've been teaching my roster since I started teaching in Los Angeles, just because I think of just how it kind of ended up working out, was predominantly girls and women. But I do, I have taught boys, men. So, but that's kind of the direction that my roster was traveling. And, about 2009, I was doing strictly private at that point, and I missed teaching group classes. That's what I did primarily at the Old Town School of Folk Music. And, I wanted to be bringing that to where I was. So, it started first as a class for adults, and then the parents of my private students of my girls, really wanted them to start having an ensemble experience because they were looking into other places around the city and to be doing that. And they weren't, there were just certain aspects, I guess, of those programs that they didn't, you know, they weren't kind of into for their kids. So they asked me if I would start up something like that. So it was just, so it morphed into that. And so it started as group classes for beginner group classes and for girls. I think my first class was for teen girls, and it's just kind of grown from there. So I have beginner classes right now running with 8 and 9 year olds, and that's been going for like a year and a half, and they are the most amazing players, and the songs that they've come up with and written have been amazing. Wow. Yeah. And I have a teen class right now. I've done a few ensembles with some of my private students, and they've played some shows around the city. So it's ever changing, you know, it's whatever. If people express an interest that they want something or a certain experience for themselves or their girls, you know, then I try to do my best to see if I can make it happen. So
very cool. Yeah. So it sounds like you kind of offer a mix of things. Are you still doing private lessons too, or is it mostly just groups?
No, I do. The private lessons right now are kind of the mainstay of my week. The group classes happen on the weekend. I have about 30 to 35 private students right now, and the ages range from about, I have several six-year-old students, which is a lot of fun. Yeah. And that, you know, they talk, they have music down. I sit there in awe sometimes because they'll ask me questions about music and music theory, and they ask it like they've been playing forever. It's an incredible experience. You know, I'm like, oh my God, okay, teach me, please. And the other thing that I've just started doing is offering, well, no, that's not true. I started this a couple years ago, is doing semi-private lessons, specifically for moms and daughters, since that's kind of how I started. I wanted to offer that as an option. And so I have taught a few mom daughter teams, and that's been great. That's been a lot of fun too. So,
yeah, I love the way that you just kind of taken it all the way back to your roots. And you know, you're probably inspiring a bunch of young girls to probably do some of the same things that you've done. So that's really cool.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. So you talked a little bit about how you started kind of developing your business and focusing on teaching girls specifically. Mm-hmm. But can you kind of talk a little more about what made you decide to do that? And also, how did you go about building such a distinctive brand?
Okay. So, let's see, you know, the decision to go primarily all, you know, do the whole girls guitar program, focusing on girls and women. I do, where I have my studios is also, and my group class space is also part of a larger music store. And they've been very supportive through this whole time of me really developing and fine tuning what it is that I'm doing. You know, Okay. So it does kind of go back to my experience at Old Town School, because for me as a teacher, how I work primarily is just observing and paying attention to kind of what's going on with students. And, that's kind of vague, but back at Old Town, when I was teaching group classes, what I noticed is, I was teaching beginner classes up through about intermediate, advanced, you know, intermediate classes, I'll say. And what I was noticing is, you know, there were a lot of women taking classes. It was, you know, mixed classes. It was primarily adults. And what I noticed is right about the intermediate level, women were not continuing on and taking the more advanced classes. And I myself was taking some classes at the school in improvisation. And, you know, I'm always about wanting to just be educating myself. Mm-hmm. Learning more things. And so I was taking those classes and noticing that the women just weren't there, or if they were there, it was only one or two. And, you know, so I was just trying to figure out, why is this happening? And so I talked to a lot of the women there, and I got a whole variety of answers. And some of it is, so some of it had to do with, they really weren't interested in learning anymore. And so, okay, that's fine. And then some were feeling a little bit, not intimidated, but yeah, a little intimidated in those classes. When you get into the advanced classes, Now, I love all guitar players, so this is not any kind of, I don't mean to slide against anybody, but, you know, I mean, you, they get in those classes, and I've been in this situation, there's a lot of noodling. So there's a lot of like, here's my riff. Some women, you know, I don't know. I think sometimes there's this, you know, you sit around that, and maybe that's not just a woman thing. That could be an everybody thing. But I think that when, you know, that can be a little intimidating at first, especially if you haven't done something like soloing for the first time, you know, or just kind of trying that out. So they weren't taking those classes sometimes because of that. Sometimes it was because all that was being taught was this classic rock, you know, canon. And again, I love all of that. I grew up on that stuff. But I think when you're listening to music that isn't that, to be presented with a class that that's all you're learning, you know, it just the interest wasn't there. So I came up with this ensemble idea that was for advanced female players. They had to audition to get in, but the material that we were doing, and it was a full-on band setup, so we had drums, bass, all that stuff. But all the material that we're doing was the material they wanted to be doing. So it was a lot of female artists. It was stuff that they were writing on their own. And then we would perform. So that was a big learning curve for me, trying to figure out, okay, well, I need to do this and that, but it was great. And to see the confidence of all of those women build as they were going through, and they'd never had the experience of playing with an all female band, which I think is a slightly different experience. So I think it was just provided a safe place for them to do that. And so now back to Los Angeles, you know, I went around because my focus is so, since I have primarily female students, some of the local places around here wanted to be bringing in more female students. And so I talked to some different people about, you know, developing potentially something for them to do that. And through the course of that process, you know, I kind of came up with this idea and curriculum for what I'm doing now, because in the long run, a few of these places were like, yes, that's what we want. And then when I presented them with what I thought would be some of the ways to do that at the time, they just didn't feel like it was something they wanted to do. So, I was disappointed initially. And then I realized, oh my God, I have this whole curriculum now. Like I've created this whole idea and program and really fine tuned it. And, the brand itself also came from parents sitting down with me and saying, okay, you just went through this experience and you have all of this. I'm not a graphic design person at all. I do my best at marketing, but that's not my forte, you know? Mm-hmm. And, the nice thing about being here specifically is that parents of one of my students said, you know, we really believe in what you're doing. We want you to be able to offer that to, you know, our daughter and to the other girls that you're working on. You do what you do well, which is creating your curriculum, teaching and making music, and let us help you develop, you know, a really great plan and like marketing thing for what you're doing. And so they did, like they came up with this whole Erica Clapton campaign, which just amazing. Like they, and so those are the big pink posters that I have in the front window. If I'll send you, maybe I'll get a picture of it. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's these big pink posters with black. It's like total Joan Jett, like 80s style, but like Erica Clapton. And we were brainstorming all these different names of the kind of the, who you generally think of as rock gods. And turning that on, kind of on its head. That just nailed, like that kind of cinched it, because that was it. Like, I'm so grateful to them because they were like, we love your vision. We support what you're doing. And we, you know, let us, your graphic design skills, meh, not so good. You know, like, let's do this for you. We want to do this for you. So that's really, and that was about 2009. So that's really kind of what brought it all together and started putting it out into the community. And just a side note, because this blew me away, I found this out last year. I was concerned, because I am in Los Angeles, that with us doing that, those kinds of play on words, you know, I was just like, are we going to get contacted by any camp? You know, like I don't, you know, like somebody's management team saying like, you got to, what are you doing? But the cool thing is, just this town being what it is, Eric Clapton actually found out about what we were doing, because that's our lead. That's the main thing that we use.
Uh-huh.
And he was really excited about it and shared it with his daughter. And like, was so like, to me, I was like, we're good. We are so fine. The light is green. Let's go.
That is so cool. That is so cool. I mean, I guess the thing that strikes me about everything that you just described was that you took something that you are really good at and passionate about and something that you care about, and you worked that into your business as a primary focus. And then as a result, you know, all the parents of all of these young girls just gathered around you and said, hey, how can we help? How can we make this successful? You know, that's just amazing. That's just a perfect example of what can happen whenever you really focus your business on what really matters to you.
Yes.
So now you have this really cool business and this really cool brand, you know, the whole Erica Clapton thing, which I love, by the way. That's really cool. So through this, what's your vision, I guess, for girls and for the guitar? What is it that you're actually trying to accomplish?
Okay. Well, so initially, when I was kind of jumping into this, it was because I wanted more girls to be learning, but I also not only wanted more girls to be visible, you know, to be seen playing guitar, but I also wanted them to be musicians, and really well-versed, grounded, just well-spoken musicians. So not only maybe they're playing a pink sparkly guitar if that's their choice, but that they actually then have the skills and the chops behind that. And for me, that was first and foremost, in addition to building their confidence. So part of what I do in my work is, it is a balance between technique and then confidence building work. And so I kind of do a little bit of both. So because that's important to me, especially for girls between the ages. And right now I have a lot of these girls between the ages of like 8 and 10, just getting right in there and using their education on the instrument also as a way to be building their confidence, with being able to learn an instrument, being able to create, writing songs or whatever those songs may be, and just having a really positive experience on the all around. So then that carries with them forward, because once they hit about age, it's like 11, there's a shift, and I can't remember the name. There's an actual name for this. I meant to find it before we spoke today, but there is an actual shift that happens. And I don't know if you've experienced this or if other teachers have experienced this, that you'll have a girl, and this might happen with boys too, but that are really gung-ho about the guitar. They love it. They're practicing and they're just sailing through. And then they hit about age 11 and suddenly it's this whole confidence crisis, and their focus goes to those around them and how they're being perceived. And so there can be this sudden shift, and a kid that was loving to play and had all the confidence in the world is suddenly coming and crying. They're not, they're struggling with their work. So if I can somehow be working with them in a way that's going to strengthen their confidence and kind of build a foundation so that doesn't happen, or that doesn't happen as much as I guess it could potentially could be, that's great. And it's also offering them a creative outlet, and a positive creative outlet for if they're having a difficult time. So that's kind of, and then that goes through my teens, and then women are a whole other ball game, because women have the whole perfectionist thing going on. At least that's been my experience, because I have taught men and women, and male students don't seem to kind of have that issue. A woman comes in by the second lesson and they're like, I failed. I'm like, what are you talking about? I had to get this every single thing right. And I'm like, oh my God, you've taken one guitar lesson, you need to give yourself, develop a beginner mindset, just relax. It's all right. We're not on a timeline here, So anyway, so for me, a large part of what I do is also fostering that for all of my students. And that's for the boys and, the men that I work with too, because I do have a few, students that aren't, female. So, So, you know, so it's a slightly different, I kind of think of it as a little bit more of an organic approach to what might be considered kind of your typical guitar lesson, because I'm trying to get, you know, I'm wanting to incorporate a lot of things into what we're doing. So that was a long answer. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing. Yeah,
that's great. I like how you're building in the confidence piece of it as well, because that's been, in my experience, one of the things that holds a lot of people back is just their lack of confidence. And that's actually a great transition in my next question. Since we're talking, you know, specifically about girls in this episode, what are some of the biggest things, in your opinion, that tend to hold girls back, not just on the guitar, but from living their bigger dreams and becoming the best that they can be and doing, you know, the things that they want to do in their lives? What do you think are some of those obstacles?
I do think confidence does play into that. I think having positive experience with attempting something and having success, or having a supportive response if it isn't necessarily a success. I think often if, you know, understanding and learning that a failure actually isn't a failure, you know, it's how you actually learn, and that's not a bad thing.
Right.
So, you know, I'm just trying to think of specific examples, and they're just eluding me at the moment, but I also think, having support of other girls too, I think is also important. I think girls and women can do anything they want. So you're asking about obstacles, and I'm finding myself saying, no, no, there are no obstacles. They can do whatever they want. We are amazing. And we are.
Yes, I would agree.
But I think the confidence thing is a big issue. The other thing, which isn't, I don't know that it's necessarily an obstacle per se. And I don't know, I'm curious sometimes. I like to talk to teachers in other parts of the country, because where I am is such a specific market, and it's such kind of, you know, an interesting market to be in. I think also discipline, and not discipline, I shouldn't say discipline, but routine, developing routine. Yeah, I guess it is discipline, and coming up with a schedule and then following that and fostering that kind of, by doing that, by figuring out times to practice and doing all of those kinds of things, I think is fostering skills for later in life as well. And I think that sometimes, that can be an obstacle if girls haven't been presented with, a role model or something that gives them a roadmap to how to get something done. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And you use the word role model, and that's really cool, because I think a lot of what holds everybody back from doing things that they would love to do is that they just don't really believe that they could do it.
Right.
You know, and just seeing someone else that they can relate to that's doing it and being successful and actually cares about them, I think that's huge. That's been my experience with lessons too. And I haven't seen your teaching business up close, but it kind of seems like that's happening, that there's a lot of inspiration that's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I mean, they kind of inspire me in many ways. But yeah, that's really important to me. That's the other reason why now I'm in the midst of trying to figure out how I can be fostering a really strong ensemble program for my private students, because I think having that experience and working with other girls is also can be inspiration, you know, and can be seeing that, oh yeah, hey, you like this too, so do I. So, you know, or I can play this and so can you, and that's great, you know. So
cool. So let's shift gears a little bit and talk more about maybe some tips and advice for some of the other guitar teachers that are going to be listening to this. So what do you think has been the biggest key to success in your teaching business so far?
Let's see. I would say, you know, word of mouth has been very helpful. The support of the parents has been really helpful. But quite frankly, the thing that there are two things that I can say without a doubt helped to get my studio to kind of back on its feet and where it is right now. And that is finding in the community, the family email lists, family activities email lists, and reaching out to them and family groups and things like that, especially if your focus is on younger students, and reaching out to local schools. There's a great family activity email list called Jen's List. And, one of my parents told me about it, and I started you can list your events for free and they send it directly to anybody who signs up. It goes right into, you know, parents' email, inboxes, excuse me. And, so I posted, you know, when I would have a class coming up, I would post there, and it was from there that I started getting calls from the right families for what I'm doing. Like, that was the right way to go, because it was also a list of just families that were kind of got what I was doing. So I started getting calls from families that way. And then what happened from being on that list is I got a call from Living Social. So this is the second thing. And Living Social is like a Groupon, you know, voucher, buy a cheap voucher deal. They contacted me and said, you're a very unique business. We want to work with you. And initially they wanted me to discount my group classes. And I don't know if you're familiar with how all of that works, but yeah. So what they want you to do is offer your services for half price. And then how that goes from there is then they pay you half price.
Right.
So you're taking a big hit. And so I told them, no, you're not going to get my group tuition because I'm just starting out and I have, there's no, you know, I don't even know if this is going to be a good fit, you know? So, but they were persistent with me. And so what I did was I went ahead and took a risk, and I went ahead and told them that we could do it, but it had to be private lessons. And they wanted me to offer like a discount on 2 months of lessons or a month of lessons. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to do that, you know, like, because you're setting up. You're just not setting up a good situation.
Right.
Because if your clients expect, if you're offering them your services at like, you know, 75% discount, when they go to re-sign up for a month and it's suddenly a full price, you know, they're not going to, my experience, my thought was anyways, they're not going to want, that's too much of a jump in price. You know, you're not going to keep them. So anyway, so we figured out a deal that worked for everybody. And I said, all right, let's just do it and see. And that, taking that risk and having them working it out with them about how it was going to work in my favor as well, ended up totally kind of transforming my clientele, you know, my students, because it marketed my work to an area of the city, just across the city. Like, it was rather amazing because they give you all the data and so you can kind of see who's buying, which is great, and age range and part of the city and like all of that stuff. So that, just those two things together, really helped to kind of spread the word out in terms of that. And then I did the popularity of those kind of programs that I think are dying down, especially for music lessons. So I did it again this last summer because they asked me to. And, you know, and again, it was kind of a wave of people coming in. So I think reaching out to the community email lists and organizations that have similar, you know, that are kind of down with what you're doing. And then also taking risks like doing a Living Social voucher, but negotiating it in a way that helps your business.
Yeah.
You know, that's really, really important. And, you know, what I ended up doing was doing, two private lessons for the price of one. So it ends up, you know, people are like, oh, when I would tell them, they're like, oh, we really want to keep with you, you know, stay with you. And this is great. And, what are we looking at now for lessons? And I would tell them, and they'd be like, oh, that's great. You know, yeah, excellent. So, you know, and I still have, I would say I have probably about 80% of those folks are still working with me.
Yeah. And that's great advice too, because I've also dealt with, you know, things like Groupon, and I've talked to some other teachers that have done similar things. And, if you're not careful, it's real easy to devalue your lessons in the eyes of the people that would be signing up. And then they just come based on the lowest price. And a lot of times those aren't the kind of students that you want to be teaching.
Yeah, absolutely not. Yes. That can be a hard lesson to learn, though, but yes.
Yeah. So how about student retention? What have been some of your most effective ways of keeping your existing students from dropping off?
I'm presenting music theory and stuff like that in their lessons, but I also am really diligent in making sure that we're working on songs and music that they want to be working on. So, adaptability, I think, goes a long way. And, so I do a mix of both with my students. And then the other thing that, has been really important to me over the last, I would say like year and a half, 2 years, is fostering community. So, again, it's listening to what parents are saying. It's just observing what's happening with families and all those kinds of things, and then creating events to serve that, and creating events that are free, you know, and that are just about really bringing my student family together. So, you know, I had parents, this ongoing thing that parents would say to me after a lesson, you know, like, okay, well, did you write it all down really clear? Were you really, really clear about it? Because I don't know anything about music. And so when they're working on this at home, I don't know how to help them. So, you know, you got to make sure that it's clear. Or did you show them how to use the tuner? Because I don't know how to use a tuner. And if you don't show them, then it won't get tuned. So, I created a parents and practice night, which is open to parents to do it quarterly. And it's about learning how to, like, you know, use a guitar tuner. It's about, you know, this is how you read a chord chart. You know, it's about whatever they need to know how to be a parent of a guitar student, you know?
Yeah.
Or other things like that. So, like, that's just one example. I just started doing that, and that's been kind of a big hit. It was really cool. In fact, I had two moms show up, and I was like, all right, we're going to use electric guitar tuner. Here we go, you know? And one of them went through kind of, okay, okay, okay. And then another woman got it, and she was tuning up, and she got, like, I just had them tune one string with the tuner. And I said, okay, so now let's hand it on. She's like, oh no, I'm got this now. I'm tuning the rest of the guitar, you know? And I was like, yay, good, that's great. That's why I'm here, you know, that's great. So, but then I open it up to, you know, any other questions that they have. And so also if they want to know how I'm working with students in the lesson, because they don't see that. I know everybody has different approaches to this, but I don't let parents sit in on the lessons with me ever.
Mm-hmm.
The parents don't really get a chance to experience what is happening in my studio, you know? So I provide that as an opportunity for them to have a taste of what it's like to be in a lesson, you know? And I also do open houses, and I try to do really casual performances once a quarter in, my classroom space, and anything that can just bring them all together. And this year I'm working on getting, I want to start getting, local female players and national female players coming in to talk, to like have an afternoon with my students. So I'm working on that right now. I got to kind of figure out the logistics of that. But until that happens, you know, we're going to start doing like meetups is what I'm calling them. You know, we're just going to, if it's an all ages show and like it's a female artist that everybody wants to see, then we'll go, you know, and have it be like Teen Girls Guitar School. We're all there, you know, and having a good time. So I'm always looking for ways that I can be doing that and really bringing everybody together as a community, because then they're supporting each other. And it's an overall, hopefully overall positive experience, you know? So for me, that's also a big piece of retaining students. Cause that's how this started, was us talking about that. But, I think that's what brings people to my program, because they hear about that stuff and they want to be involved in that as well. So,
yeah, that's excellent advice. And you really hit it on the head, because especially when you're teaching younger students, I mean, if you think you're just teaching kids, that's a big mistake in your thinking, because you're really teaching the parents too, in a certain aspect of this, right? Because they're the ones that are going to be primarily responsible for a lot of the results that their kids are going to get.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's genius. Bringing everybody together like that is great advice. So how about this? What helps to keep you motivated to continue when things don't seem to be going as well as you would like them to?
Okay, so I would have to say the primary thing that has kept me going, honestly, has been my students. Because I would say about 2008, in this market anyway, all of, I think, guitar teachers, it was the strangest thing, like band teachers, their rosters were off the charts, you know? But it was the rock instrument teachers that I spoke to. We were all experiencing, a pretty big hit. And, honestly, it would be coming in and working with my students that would be writing, taking like the three chords I taught them and writing a really great song with, like, you know, all they learned is a one finger C and G7 and maybe and C, G7 and like maybe D7. And they would come in and write this really, you know, we're talking like 8 years old now.
Yeah.
And they would write this amazingly sophisticated or really funny song. Like there was one of them was, I like Legos, right? So, which I was great because it was a girl. I was like, oh my God, I love Legos too. I'm so glad this is happening, you know? And she'd come in and her song was, I like Legos, 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 Legos. I like Legos, play with me, you know, da, 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 da. But it was so, the refrain was brilliant, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was being in those lessons and being like, okay, like this is the good stuff right here, you know? And that it's going to turn around. And the thing that I've had to reframe for myself, this was a big one for me, and I'm sure it is for other people too, but it was getting my mindset out of the lack mentality, which basically means, you know, oh my God, there's all these guitar teachers in the city of Los Angeles, and they're all getting, you know, it's a competition, and, you know, there's nobody's making money in this economy doing this. And what I started doing was I started asking, looking at music studios that I saw were actually really prosperous during that time and talking to them and like, so, and finding out, oh, okay, there is prosperity going on right now, you know? And so, and just holding that to be true, that there is always, always, always music, and there's always going to be the right guitar students for what you're doing. If you know what it is that your focus and your joy comes from, you know, the right people are going to find you, and that it isn't lack. Like there are so many different people that want to be learning guitar forever and always. And there might be a lot of other people teaching guitar too, but the right students are finding them. So, you know, I'm not always successful in reminding myself of that truth, but I think it's really important to just talk to other people, remind yourself that there is plenty, like there just is. And as long as you're enjoying what you're doing, I just love going in and teaching the group 8 and 9 year old class. And my teen class that I taught them all yesterday. And, you know, I just come out of that day revived and renewed. Like they wrote, this is great. 8 and 9 year olds, mind you, they were composing their first piece using E, F, and G. And one of them shared her song and it was called 40 Emo Gorillas Eat Gevelta Fish. And that played me. Like, I was like, oh my God, you know, like, how can that be bad? And then my teen class, are all nerds, which is great because so am I. And we started doing blues and A, and they all realized that they had they love David Tennant and Doctor Who, so, which I thought was great. And so they decided that their blues song that they were going to write was going to be the TARDIS blues and A, which I just was like, yes,
that's great.
Yes! So anyway, so, you know, I can't leave my, you know, I can't end a day going, oh, life is difficult, when I've got that, you know? So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. And actually, it's funny that you just brought that up about scarcity and, you know, abundance. I just, the last podcast episode I just released was all about that. So I'm a big believer in that too. A lot of times if you think there's lack, you know, then it's kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, your students kind of start to disappear, but the opposite is also true too, in my experience.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, 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 that can be kind of a, you know, I don't know. That's the one that I just have to keep myself coming back to, because I think the initial, I think our initial human reaction is to want to go to that place.
Yeah.
You know? So just have a go, no, there's, you know, it's all good. There's plenty everywhere.
Absolutely. Cool. So here's another question for you.
Yeah.
What kind of advice would you have for somebody that would be interested in getting started as a guitar teacher for the very first time?
Okie dokie. So I think there are a few things. So knowing what it is you want to teach and knowing what your focus is, I think is really important. And it's taken me a while to kind of get to that point, but it is so important. If you are wanting to, you know, if you think that you want to be working with beginners, then let that be your focus, because at least when you're starting out, so you can really develop a strong curriculum for yourself and have some lesson plans that you know will work and can build your own confidence as a teacher as you're working. Excuse me. Same would be true for any other, you know, level or genre or focus. Here's another one. Don't undersell yourself.
Yeah.
Do not find out what the market rates are. Do not charge less than that. That makes me insane when I see that around here, because I know what the average market is for music lessons around here. And then I'll see signs of like, guitar, you know, learn how to play guitar, 15, you know, $15 when the, and I'm like, oh my God, like, what are you doing? Like, that's not good for anybody. You're setting a low threshold of expectation, for yourself. You're devaluing your service. And then actually you're also impacting all of your other fellow teachers when you bring that kind of medium price down. So, do not charge less just because you think that, you know, either you're like, oh, I'm just starting, or people won't come, you know? So that's another important thing. I would say also being in conversation with other guitar teachers mm-hmm. in the area, and finding, you know, just opening conversation. Cause to me, I'm always learning and always growing from those conversations. So being in touch with other teachers, and then also knowing your boundaries. I think having, in the sense of, have a contract for your students and then stand by it. I think that can be such a difficult thing. You set a 24-hour cancellation policy, and then suddenly parents are coming to you saying, well, she's got homework to do, so we have to cancel. Or, you know, this or that or this or that. And then you're like, oh, well, you know, I don't know, you know, you find yourself going, oh, well, it's okay, I won't charge you this time. You know, we'll do it. No. Don't do that, because, and that's been a hard one for me to get. I'm finally, I've come up with some roundabout solutions for that. But, you know, come up with something that you feel you can enforce and that is also shows respect for what you do. Because I think sometimes, at least in this area, and I don't know that it's true for other parts of the country, I didn't experience it as much when I was teaching in other parts of the country, but, you know, sometimes the guitar teacher just gets considered another service. Mm-hmm. So respect isn't, you know, you're just the person that teaches my kid, you know? So I think coming right out of the, so meaning I don't have to pay you with your 24-hour cancellation policy. I cannot show up for 2 weeks and still expect to get on your schedule at the same time. You know, oh, what do you mean you need me to pay today? Can I pay in next week? And I'm like, well, how would you like it if your job told you that? Like, okay, well, because, you know, so I think having a contract that spells that out clearly, and there's always room for flexibility with that, depending on the student, I think, and the family, if they've shown, you know, if you know they're pretty consistent in paying you, and, you know, you always have that room for flexibility. But I think it's important to just establish that right out of the gate and not feel bad about it, because what you're doing is important. We've got special education for it. You know, it's just like any other doctor, lawyer, you know, insert thing here, you know? So it's just as important. And the other thing I would say is have a couple of really great, strong lesson plans for a couple of beginner lessons. Like, I don't know, chart it out for like about, create them for like, I don't know, at least 4 or 6 weeks that you can use over and over and over again that you know really work well, and you have it down, and then that will kind of allow you to, you know, go from there.
Good. That's great advice. So we're just about out of time here on the interview, but I do have one more question for you.
Okay.
Since we're kind of, the focus is on girls and women in this episode, what words of advice and encouragement to close this out would you have for any female guitar teachers and aspiring female teachers that would be listening to this episode right now?
You know, just do what you love. And also, you know, it's okay to stand your ground and do things like that, what I was just talking about, having a contract, enforcing your policies, and talking to other musicians and reaching out to other female teachers and musicians that are in your area, you know, because that we need to support each other. But we need more women teaching guitar. They are out there. I know they are. Get yourself visible, reach out to your community, and just be a role model, not just for girls, but for boys, for everybody. Because honestly, my goal, I realize what I'm doing is kind of created this, yes, girls only. But honestly, my goal, I want to be able to like look at a list of top 100 guitarists by whatever music magazine and actually have it be a fair mix of male and female artists. I want to be able to watch some benefit concert on TV and actually see that some of the, you know, that it's a pretty fair mix of female instrumentalists, you know, guitar players, rock bands, you know, I don't care if it's men and women in the band. Like that's for me, the important thing is to start seeing more of a balance. I don't necessarily feel like we need to be all, you know, just all female, blah, blah, blah. Like to me, it's having that balance of seeing more women, and girls, in music, especially rock music and you know, in other genres too, but now I'm losing my train of thought, but seriously, like just so we can start having a balance. So it isn't an issue of gender anymore. It's an issue of, are they a good guitarist or not? You know, like, do you enjoy the music or not? And so, you know, yeah, so there's that.
That's great. That's very inspiring and good information for all of us, male and female. So yeah, I guess we should probably wrap it up.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks so much for taking the time to be on the podcast, October.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for getting in touch with me.
Yeah, it's been a great discussion. And again, if you're listening to this, you can find out more about October and Girls Guitar School by visiting girlsguitarschool.com. Okay, that's it for this episode of the free edition of the Start Teaching Guitar podcast. If you'd like to hear this episode in its entirety, full length, and without any commercials or advertisements, you can purchase your own STG All Access membership by visiting www.stgallaccess.com. STG All Access members get a full-length, ad-free podcast episode every single week, covering more detailed how-to topics, along with access to my notes and outline for each episode. Members also get access to the STG podcast archive, including the first 25 episodes of the podcast that are no longer available to the general public, and access to the STG community forums where you can connect with myself and other guitar teachers to ask questions and get help with building your teaching business. Just head over to www.stgallaccess.com to start your risk-free membership today. Just want to thank everyone for taking the time to listen to this episode. This has been the free edition of episode 52 of the Start Teaching Guitar podcast with Donnie Schecksnyder. Until next time, keep on teaching.
Thanks for listening to the Start Teaching Guitar podcast with Donnie Schecksnyder. If you like what you heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, www.startteachingguitar.com, to your friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the podcast page on our website to listen to previous episodes of the show. Join us next time for another edition of the Start Teaching Guitar podcast.